Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Okay, this is a continuation. This is BJ with Just Stuff. And today we have a continuation of our topic of diabetes. Our guest today is Mrs. Sandra Johnson, and she will continue to answer these all important questions for us so that we will know how to deal with diabetes, or if you know someone who has diabetes, maybe after the information you receive, you can give them some tips on how to manage their diabetes. Mrs. Johnson.
Thank you, BJ. Last time, on the part one of the discussion on diabetes, we talked about what diabetes is and what causes it. We looked at some of the statistics of diabetes, which is pretty scary. We talked about the different types of diabetes that a person can have. And we also talked about who is at risk for diabetes. How do you know you might be a person that could get diabetes? So we talked about all those things last time. So just to recap on that, remember, diabetes is caused by the malfunction of the hormone insulin. Some people don't have insulin at all, and some do. And the people that do have insulin, the insulin is malfunctioning, and all in all, that insulin not working causes your blood sugar to rise very high. And so that's where we come in today.
Yeah. So why is it so important that we talk about this topic?
Okay, diabetes is very important because it can cause death as well as disabilities. All right, lots of complications can occur if you have diabetes and are not taking care of it properly. Remember, on part one, I talked about having diabetes and not knowing you have it for years and years.
Right.
It's very possible, right? So eventually, you can have so many complications as a result of that high blood sugar, the sugar in your blood from the foods you eat that the body can't handle. You can have so many complications, and that's why it's important to have it treated, go to your doctor, and get the proper treatment. Now, let's talk about some of the complications that can occur, just so you would know. Remember I said death can occur,
right,
and disabilities, right?
Right.
Okay, some of these complications can cause disabilities, and some can cause death, as we already said. For example, type 1 diabetes can lead to an illness called diabetic ketoacidosis. That's when the high levels of sugar in your blood can cause the body to go into an acid state and have too much acid. Diabetic ketoacidosis. And what it does is cause you to become so severely dehydrated that you can go into a coma and die from it if it's not treated. If you're not gotten to an emergency room really, really fast, you can die from it, okay? So that's why this topic is important.
Absolutely.
All right? And so for type 2 diabetes, if it's not treated adequately, it can lead to death by having a heart attack, or by having a stroke, or having kidney failure. So type 2 diabetes, remember, that's the one you can have years and years without even knowing it. And the whole while, while you have diabetes, without knowing it, that means you're not being treated for it.
Right.
You can end up with kidney failure, because diabetes affects the kidneys. Diabetes affects the heart. You can end up with a heart attack. You can end up with heart failure. And you can also end up with a stroke.
Oh, my.
Okay? So that's not good. So other illnesses cause... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are some of, you know, since all of these things can develop from that, from diabetes, and sometimes we don't know, you know, that it's present in our bodies, what are some of the signs and symptoms of high or low blood sugar? And can the symptoms be masked by something else?
Yes. Okay, sure. Okay, so, and other problems that can occur from diabetes are blindness, neuropathy, which is damage to the nerves in your feet and legs, and infections, lots of infections that could cause you to become very ill. So signs and symptoms of diabetes, that's what people need to know. How do you know you might have it? What are some signs and symptoms? Okay, so for type 1 and type 2 diabetes, you have some similar symptoms and signs, and then there are some differences between the two. So one of the things is urinating often. If you notice that you have to keep running to the bathroom to urinate quite often, more than other people, okay, that might be a sign. If you feel very, very thirsty all the time and you keep running to the bathroom to urinate, that might be a sign. If you feel very hungry all the time, that could be a sign of diabetes. So put those three things together: urinating a lot, being thirsty, and being hungry very often. And I'm not talking about hungry when it's time to eat. I'm talking about just feeling hungry. All the time. And I'm not talking about thirsty just because it's a hot day and you just went outside. I mean thirsty all the time. You wake up in the middle of the night feeling thirsty. That's what I mean by frequency, okay? So those three things can tell you, can give you a clue. But let's look at some more. Feeling very tired all the time. And you don't think you should be tired.
Right.
You know, you haven't done anything to make you really tired, but you feel tired. You don't feel like getting up. You don't feel like moving. That could be a sign of diabetes. You have blurry vision. Like you're having problems seeing things. You know you already wear glasses, but, you know, something is changing here. That could be a sign of diabetes. If you ever got a cut on your hand or foot, arm, leg, or wherever, and it took forever and ever to heal, it just, like it just wanted to stay moist and it didn't heal, took a long time to heal, a little cut should heal the next day.
Right.
But if something lingers on, that's a sign of diabetes. If a person who has type 1 diabetes and doesn't know it, and they begin to keep losing weight, losing weight is a sign of type 1 diabetes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they lose weight because they just, their bodies just don't have sugar at all.
Yeah.
At least with type 2, you do have you can utilize some of the sugar, but people, and so if you can't utilize that for fuel, your body begins to break down protein. So you become skinny.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of weight. So type 1, they're smaller people than people with type 2. If you ever have had tingling, pain, or numbness in your hands or feet, that's a sign of type 2 diabetes. Because remember, I think I talked about last time that, or I might have said it this time, that you can have a neuropathy, which is damage to the nerves in your feet and legs and hands and arms, right? So if that happens, that might be a sign of type 2 diabetes. So all of those things are things for you to think about. If you have more than one of those things, you might want to check with your doctor to see if you might have diabetes. All they'll do is draw some blood from you and check your blood glucose level. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Now, what is the treatment for high or low blood sugar?
Okay, so the treatment, first of all, they would diagnose you. When you go to the doctor, you can find out whether you might indeed have diabetes because you think you're at risk for it. Your doctor will do several tests. Three tests are the tests that are most common. One is a fasting blood sugar. A fasting blood sugar or fasting blood glucose is when they tell you not to eat anything for about 8 to 12 hours. Don't eat or drink anything for 8 to 12 hours before you come to the lab to get your blood drawn. And that means you are fasting. Okay, you have no food or anything in your stomach. Mm-hmm. And they draw a blood level. They draw blood from you and they check it to see how high your blood sugar is. If your blood sugar measures 126 or higher, you will be diagnosed as diabetic. If your blood sugar is 100 to 125, you'll be diagnosed as pre-diabetic. If your blood sugar is less than 100, then you are normal. Okay? So those are the numbers that the doctor will look at to say, in fact, that you are. Before we get into treatment, these are some of the ways that they will diagnose you. Okay, another way is, again, the A1C level, which we talked about what the A1C does. It's a way for them to diagnose a person to see if they have diabetes. Now, what A1C actually is, it measures the amount of sugar crystals on a hemoglobin molecule in your red blood cell. Okay, I know that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Chemistry, physical, whatever, biology. But that's what an A1C is. It's measuring the amount of sugar that has crystallized on a hemoglobin molecule inside your red blood cell over a period of 2 to 3 months. Okay? So once they check that, they can see, and that's kind of like a definitive test that they will use to see if you have diabetes. So if your A1C measures greater than 6.5%, then you will be diagnosed as diabetic. If your A1C measures 5.7 to 6.4%, 5.7 to 6.4%, you will be diagnosed as pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. And if your A1C measures less than 5.7, you will be normal. You won't have diabetes, okay? So those are a few of the tests, and there are many other tests they could do, glucose tolerance test and so many other type tests, but those two tests are the quickest and easiest ones that they can do. And if they're not quite sure that the person is diabetic, even after testing for blood sugar and things like that, they can do many other tests. So that's how you would be diagnosed. So if your doctor gives you the actual diagnosis of diabetes, the treatment for it is the next thing. Treatment is very, very important. This is where you have to really pay attention, because once you have it, or you're predisposed to having it, like pre-diabetes, these are the things that you need to do to keep your blood sugar or your blood glucose down to close to normal level in a safe range, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember we said if the fasting blood sugar is more than 126?
Right.
That's bad. So when you learn how to check your own blood sugars at home, you want to make sure that every morning when you get up, the first thing you do is check, do a little finger stick and check your own blood sugar level. And it should be less than 126. Mm-hmm. It should be near 100, okay, or less. And that's a good range for it, okay?
Okay.
All right, so for prevention, if you are pre-diabetic, if you are diagnosed as pre-diabetes, you would want to make sure that you keep your weight down. That's the first thing to start looking at, okay? I'm pre-diabetic. Am I overweight? Okay, so start looking at ways that you can lose weight. There are many, many people that can help you. And when we say you should lose weight, you don't necessarily have to go to a gym. You can just do a little walk down to the end of your street and back. And just keep doing that back and forth and do a 30-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for 30 minutes and do it 5 times a week.
And some type of exercise along with diet. Is important, don't you think?
Do your exercise to keep your weight down.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to lose weight, think about ways that you can lose weight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you want to lose, if you weigh over 200 pounds, you should lose 12 to 15 pounds, right? You know, that's what you should have a focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is in pre-diabetes. These are people that don't have diabetes yet, but they have a high enough number that it's getting kind of risky, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to watch your ideal body weight, watch your BMI. Remember I told you if your BMI is more than 30, you are obese. So you have to quickly get that weight down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a healthy diet would be looking at the amount of foods you eat. You don't have to cut out everything, okay? Because that's what scares people, and that makes people say, I don't want to go on a diet.
Yes.
People get frustrated with that. So I don't ever tell anybody they should cut out this and cut out that. What I say is just eat a little bit of it. For instance, I like ice cream. Strawberry ice cream is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I eat only about a third of what I used to eat to
mm-hmm.
cut down on it, to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, I just got a taste of it, you know. I put it in a small bowl so that I don't have to, you know, have a large bowl. And, of course, once you put it in the bowl, you're going to sit there and eat it. So I just do a little bit. And I like cake. I love cake, like birthday cake and those sweet cakes like that. So now is take a small piece, a real small piece than I ever used to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel good because I know that I'm trying to keep myself healthy and I'm
right.
keeping my weight down.
And you were still able.
Like nobody's going to tell me don't ever eat cake. You know, and that's how most people are. You can't tell people don't eat something, but you can tell them to eat it in very, very small portions.
Absolutely.
Just to satisfy yourself. And once you get used to doing that, you'll keep doing it. And then if you get used to eating just a little small piece of cake, a tiny piece, and then one day you decide, I'm going to just be brave and just go out there and get a big piece of cake. You know what's going to happen? It's going to make you feel sick because your stomach is just not used to it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how it should be. So that's one of the things I found helpful for keeping a healthy diet and eating the right kinds of foods. Don't let anybody scare you if they say, well, you need to lose weight. Because losing weight, you don't want to try to lose weight over a short period of time.
Right.
Think about it in a year. Okay, if the doctor says I have to lose weight, I'm going to sit there and think, how many pounds will I have to lose a month if I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be like, what, one and a half pounds a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that sounds doable, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you can do it if you had to only lose 1 pound to make that 10 pounds at the end of the year. So that's what you can do, actually, to lose weight. You can just spread it out like that, and then next year do the exact same thing. So over
mm-hmm.
2 years, you will have lost 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some people, if you are obese, you might have to go on a different type of diet, and the doctors and nutritionists and dietitians and endocrinologists and everybody will help you to lose much more weight than that over a year. Like
over
they'll
year,
want you to
yeah.
lose 100 pounds in one year or something like that. So it's different if you are, you know, extremely overweight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just trying to keep yourself in a healthy, you know, trying to lose a little, cut a little bit of pounds here and there, that's the way you can do it. Just look at it over a year's time, and that makes you feel better.
Yes, indeed. Well, you just explained, because I was going to ask you, how can nutrition support diabetes, and you explained all of that. And a part, you know, to do this type thing, it takes real discipline.
Yes, it does.
And you just have to have your mind made up that you're going to do it, because the doctor told me that, diagnosed me with diabetes 2, type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked the doctor, I said, I did not want to take a pill. I just did not want to take a pill. So I asked him if I could make some changes,
mm-hmm,
and try to see if that would help anything. And so that's what I did. And, you know, I'm not saying this would work for everybody, but it works for me.
Right.
And I don't, all of the cheese and the crackers and the ice cream, all of that stuff I used to eat, I don't eat all of that stuff anymore. I eat it every once in a while because I love cheese.
Right.
And I don't eat anything after 6 o'clock. I don't care how hungry I get. I eat nothing after six. And this morning, my blood sugar was 96, and my A1C is down from, it was high, it was 7, I think, and it's down now to 6 point something, because now they say 7 is
the cutoff
number.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's great. And I wish a lot of people knew things like that, because I think, personally, I believe that when they go to a doctor and a doctor says, well, you need to lose weight, that's scary to people.
Yeah.
Because who am I going to lose weight? People have to know how to lose weight.
Right.
And just simply cutting out things. Like I said, I used to eat my ice cream and a big bowl. Now I just eat just a tiny bit just to say that I got a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. If you did that every day for just about everything that you eat, just eat a little bit of it.
A little bit of it. And that's satisfying.
Yes, it's satisfying. And like I said before, your body gets used to it. And before long, you feel much better because you're losing that weight. And absolutely, diabetes can be handled without, but you have to have a lot of discipline. Diabetes can be handled without insulin for type 2. And without, in certain cases, it can. But sometimes, let me just put this in, sometimes you have to take insulin with your diabetes to bring it down to a safe level.
Right.
Once you are in that safe level, you need to keep it there by doing all the things with proper diet, eating good foods, and staying away from high sweets and carbohydrates. And carbohydrates is one of the things that causes your blood to have sugar, okay? Because when you eat carbohydrates, it breaks down. I might have said that on the first segment.
Yeah, you
did. But carbohydrates is what you want to watch. You want to eat a little bit of carbohydrates, and I think it's 45 grams per meal. So when you are diagnosed with diabetes, you have to see a diabetic educator, and they help you to understand what carbs are and how much you need to eat of it per meal. They also teach you how to check your blood sugars every day. They teach you all about the disease process of diabetes. They teach you all that. That's a diabetic educator.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than the stuff I'm telling you today. They will teach you all about it. And they'll take their time, and they don't tell it to you all at one time. It's like little classes you have to go to to learn about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the treatment things, is to go to a diabetic educator to learn all about what you need to do. The second thing in the treatment is to have an endocrinologist. Not all diabetics have an endocrinologist, but sometimes your doctor will specially refer you to an endocrinologist to manage your diabetes, especially if you have another predisposing illness such as heart disease. If you have type 2 diabetes and you have heart disease, you need to be with an endocrinologist so that they can manage. They know exactly where your blood sugar needs to be, and they manage it for you with, you know, changing your medicines around. And you make frequent and regular trips to your endocrinologist, like every 2 months or something like that. Okay, so that's another part of the treatment. Staying in touch with your regular doctor.
Right.
Okay, so you have your once you're diagnosed with diabetes, stay in touch with your regular doctor, because remember, you have complications. You can have complications from diabetes, especially type 2, with all of the complications that can build up. Your primary doctor, your regular doctor, would be the one to see all of those things. Okay, so that's why you need to stay in touch always with your regular doctor. You need to go to your endocrinologist if you are referred to one, and you can ask your doctor if you need to see one, and they can refer. And your diabetic educator. That's when you have questions. When questions pop in your head, you can just dial his or her number, and they'll be able to talk you through whatever you're, you know, you're discussing, whatever problem you have, issue you have, they'll be able to tell you about it and teach you about it. Okay, so, all right, and let's see, did I go, I said keep your weight down, exercise. And how many times a week did I say to exercise?
You didn't say how many times a week. But you said at least for at least 30
5
minutes.
Days, right. It's at least 5 days per week.
Okay.
5 times a week. How many minutes did I say each exercise should be at least?
At least 30, you said.
Right. At least 30, 5 times a week. Okay, that's not hard. That's not a hard thing to do. So
Okay, we'll say that.
but you have to put, like you said, you have to put your mind to it.
Right.
And watch what you eat, see your doctors, and another thing that we didn't talk about was the insulin pump. That's another form of treatment. And remember, we talked about type 1 diabetes. Those are the people that have to be on insulin.
Because they're not producing.
They have to take insulin. They have to give themselves shots because their body is not producing any insulin at all. So the insulin pump is a device that is attached to you, and it's like about the size of a cell phone, and it's a little computer in there. And it manages your blood sugar levels and your insulin, how much insulin you're going to get. It can tell how much insulin you need. And it has a little tube that is placed under the skin. Mm-hmm. It goes in under the skin into the fat cells. And that's where the insulin is given, just like you would give yourself a shot.
Right.
It's the same thing, but the machine does it for you. And it's very convenient, and it's more accurate than giving insulin injections yourself, because the machine gives you the right dose right at the right time. Whereas if you're giving yourself injections, if you are in class, or if you are out somewhere in the grocery store, you know, and you say, oh, it's time for me to take my insulin. Okay, well, you got to wait till you get home, or be excused by your teacher if you're in class to go, you know, you have to do something. But when you have that insulin pump that has the insulin in it, it gives it to you at the right time. You don't have to do anything. The only thing with the insulin pump is that everything has to be programmed into it. Your doctor tells you how much insulin you're supposed to get, and according to how much food, how much carbohydrate intake you have, and how much food you ate, what the intake was, when you program it into your little device, your insulin pump, it knows how much insulin that you should get after you finish that meal. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works.